Thank you for joining us at the Roundtable.
Brought to you by Community Education Arts, a nonprofit organization based in Noblesville, Indiana.
I'm Alice Cavanaugh-Scober, President of CE Arts.
And I'm Sarah E. Morin, Secretary of CE Arts. Let's sit down
at the Roundtable.
Welcome back to Community Education Arts and our Creative Placemaking series. You're seeing me tonight. Alice is off camera. She's going to stick her head in for a moment.
I'm here.
Just because we have a special guest with us tonight and we want to give her a place at center stage. This is Deborah Peterson with us tonight.
Salutations.
Fabulous, Deborah.
Deborah is a very, very talented poet. I know her through Poetry Society of Indiana, where she serves as president. And she has also been a key participant in our creative placemaking activities. Deborah, would you like to say anything about yourself to introduce yourself?
Well, just a couple of things probably is, I'm a word junkie. So poetry is my main genre, but I do travel writing, I do journaling, and then I do a lot of that Roman numeral outline kind of writing as well. So I'm not a stranger to a pen.
Excellent. What we're going to be talking about tonight is an in-depth look at our particular creative placemaking projects. So that includes the Polk Street Review, and we just got done launching our 2020 book for that just a few days ago, as well as NICE, which is Noblesville. Yes, thank you. Noblesville Interdisciplinary Creativity Expo. So I think that I have us just talking a little bit about the history of Polk Street Review and how that came to be.
Start a little bit about that, and I'll just give a little history of that first off, because I'm the one who kind of got us involved with it. It actually, the Polk Street Review began in 2011 as just a book. It was an anthology put together every year by two local authors, Bill Kinley and Kurt Meyer, who are friends of ours. And they did that for 3 or 4 years. They collected submissions from local writers, and predominantly just local writers, and published a book and had a book launch. And it was not, I would say it was beloved by the group of people that knew about it, and the wider world had no clue. The wider city had no clue. I mean, it was kind of a unknown thing, but it was very popular among the people who loved it and the local community, especially of the writers and the people who submitted to it. In 2014, I created the nonprofit that we have now, and one of the things that I decided to do was ask Bill and Kurt if we could take over that publication, because they had not produced a book in 2015 because both of their writing careers took off. And so everybody came to the book launch and there was no book. It was just like presentation night. People read, you know, talked out loud and read their pieces from their papers, but there was no book to buy or anything. And I thought, you know. So I approached Bill and Kurt and I said, hey, I think this would be a great thing for this brand new nonprofit to take on, because it seemed so perfect for the nonprofit. It was local driven, community driven. It was focused on Noblesville's artists, writers, and things like that. And I had some ideas to kind of expand a little and make it a little, maybe bring it to other people, not just the local community. And so they were very happy that I wanted to do that. And they said, sure, take it, please. And so we spent 2016 kind of gearing up, getting submissions. I decided that the date of December 31st would be a really great annual deadline, just easy to remember, end of the year. Send us something by the end of the year. I don't care if you send it in January for the next year, you know, but December 31st is the deadline. And so we spent 2016 prepping for the production of the book for 2017. So 2017 was the first edition that we published. We've published one every year since then, and we've grown the project since then in significant ways. The book itself is a little different. We have awards categories. We only give out ribbons, but they're beautiful ribbons. They're lovely ribbons. Oh, yeah. Everybody loves to get there. But we have an Award of Merit award is the best in the book. We give special awards for significant things that strike our fancy each year. And then we have first, second, third, and honorable mention in the three categories, which are prose, poetry and song lyrics, and images. So photography, art images, things like that. So we do that. We have an international connection section where we kind of took that local Noblesville focus and said, hey, let's spread this globally and see how, you know, and the international connection section is interesting because we'll get memoirs of people who went on vacation somewhere and had a, you know, a crazy drive down a mountain or, you know, some experience in their travels or something like that. Lots of things come in for the international connection section, especially wonderful photographs for one thing. Travel photographs are amazing. We expect some travel writing from you. And so that was different. I think the rest of the book is pretty much the way Bill and Kurt had it. But we did innovate it and update it a little bit with those things. And the global connection with the international stuff has really been something that was important to me because I think it allows us to reach a much more diverse audience. Mm-hmm. And not just the people who submit. For example, in the 2020 edition, reaching from afar, we had pieces from as far away as Zimbabwe, mm-hmm. which was very exciting. And in the past, we've had from France. We've had, you know, we've had some wonderful shared experiences from far, far away. And that means a lot to me. I think it's important for modern communities in today's world to be open and welcoming and diverse. And mm-hmm. it's challenging sometimes to reach diversity and equity in the things that you're producing in the arts. And so we want to have the Pulitzer Review be a project that everyone is welcome to participate in. And part of that everyone is the entire world from far away. All inclusive. Yeah, exactly. And that's just, I mean, just, I think that international is just one of the diverse peoples that we hope to reach. You know, there's all kinds of diversity that we want to include. But anyway, so that's how the book became a slightly different book. And then in the past few years, it's been very important to me, and Sarah E. has really supported and encouraged and helped me grow the book into what I call a project, an arts project, a creative placemaking project. We did that by first adding workshops. A few years ago, we started to host workshops leading up to that December 31st deadline. We would have workshops on songwriting and arranging, workshops on poetry, on memoir writing. Ellen Santacero from Oregon came out in June for several years in a row, and we hope to get her back next year. She came out and hosted memoir writing workshops for the Pulitzer Review Project. So we added workshops to encourage people who've been writing forever, mm-hmm. people who've never really written anything before, mm-hmm. to give it a try. And we also had arts-focused workshops. I remember specifically we had a photography one that got rained out, so we just on the fly just changed it to, hey, get your cell phone out, get your device out, look at the fourth last picture you took, and let's write something about it, you know, let's talk about that picture. So, you know, when you can't go walking in the rain easily, you know, you do that. So we added workshops, and then last year we started a podcast at the Round Table. And that's our podcast and short video series is also part of the Pulitzer Review Project now. And that's really exciting. So our project is much more inclusive, is a word that you use, Deborah, and I like that, because we can have people on the podcast, we can have people at workshops, we can have people submit to the book. Some people who come to workshops don't submit, mm-hmm. but they get something out of the workshops. They just don't necessarily want to be in the book. Right. Some people who will come on the podcast don't have anything to do with the book or the workshops. Mm-hmm. So we should be able to grow our participants and our audience with this project. So that's a little bit of history about the project itself and the book in particular.
I want to spring off yes. of something you said before my brain forgets
it. Yeah, I know. Feel free to interrupt me because you know me, I could talk forever.
And that is, you brought up the point that 2015 there was no book.
No book.
You clearly felt it was important that we have a printed
mm-hmm.
book.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. So that brings up to me the reminder of the double layer that mm-hmm. we have in-person presentations.
Mm-hmm.
We also have the hard copy book.
Yes.
And so,
probably want to turn over to Deborah. What do you feel as a contributor? What do you feel you gain out of doing the presentation? And what do you feel you gain out of, you know, what does it feel like to see your words in print too?
Well, I'm going to start that off with a little bit of a story.
Okay.
The undercurrent narrative. And as you know, I am in the encore, creating the encore of my life right now. I've raised my children. I've done my career. I've got that pension thing going on. And my daughters found their way into central Indiana. Mm-hmm. So I've been looking to move. And so I started that journey in that adventure, and just wherever the car would take me is where I would go. Mm-hmm. And I kept ending up in Noblesville, mm-hmm. and I kept wondering, what is going on there? And then I realized that after crossing your path, your lovely, wonderful path, and Alice's, that there is something going on in this community. Mm-hmm. And, you know, compared to all the other communities in central Indiana, from Ohio to Illinois and, you know, a little bit north and south, this one was the most vibrant when it came to communities. So the work that you have done, I mean, you truly are manifesting your words when it comes to community engagement and creative placemaking, because it's happening right here. And that's what brought me into this realm. Thank you. I'll always be your number one fan.
Thank you.
Well, and I do want to say, to kind of just say something about what Deborah just said, is that she told me before we started recording tonight that she's watched our creative placemaking episodes and listened to the podcast and watched the videos and took notes and you know, thought about how her interactions with our projects related to the things we were talking about in our creative placemaking series. And I'm beginning to think that the entire roundtable podcast and short videos is always going to be creative placemaking, because that's what we do.
I think
it's just part of the title in a way, you know. But but it means the world to me that someone that I respect so much as an artist and writer. I call you an artist because to me, writing is an art. So for the audience out there, when I say artist, I mean of any genre or medium. Mm-hmm. So. It means the world to me that someone I admire so much as an artist and a soulful person feels that we're doing a good job, you know, for just lack of a better way to say it. It just means the world to me, because that means we're doing something right.
So,
you know, and sometimes those sleepless nights, you got to think, am I doing something right? You know,
these two major projects that you've been doing, the NICE and the Pope Street Review, it's a living testimony to what is behind your words, and I bought into it lock, stock, and barrel. I've come to as many workshops as I can.
Yes, you have.
And you know, just in the undercurrent narrative, I have met some of the coolest people in this town and in this area. I have met other artists from all different kinds of genre. Mm-hmm. And then you in your workshops with the lecturers that you've had or the presentations that you have, you know, designed, you pushed. You pushed us out of our comfort zone. You pushed us off the paper, you pushed us onto canvas. I've never seen before.
That was so much
until
fun.
I came here,
that
or
so
listening
fun.
To the music that's being composed, or just all that's going on, just was and is, and it's become my new fuel. You know, I found my tribe.
That's awesome.
And second to that, and I was pointing this out to Alice, is, you know, coming into a new community, I've already got my cache of people that I can rely on. Mm-hmm. All of the people who sponsored Wall Street Review, I now have my own attorney, and I have, you know, places to make copies and dental care. But, I mean, you've already done a lot of work for me.
There
and
you go.
Who continue to be the cool people that support arts in this community.
And that is so important when you're trying to do projects
amazing.
Like this. I can't emphasize that enough. I know we've done whole episodes on, you know, community engagement and finding those partnerships, but honestly, local businesses, I mean, you might not ever think that an insurance company or a law firm would support the arts, but ask in your community, knock on their door and say, hey, I've got this arts project idea. Would you sponsor it? Mm-hmm. Would you support it? I mean, our ad space buys in the book are not super expensive, but they're also, you know, permanent in a book, you know, and
accessible.
We try to make them affordable, and we try to work with people on them. And it is a wonderful feeling once the book is printed and we've had our book launch. Like in the next week or so, I'm going to be going around downtown Noblesville mm-hmm. with the complimentary copies to give to our corporate sponsors because. You know, and I sent an email to one of them today and said, just check with the office how many copies you need. I've got two on reserve, but if you need mm-hmm. more, let me know.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, especially year after year, if they continue to be supportive, we want to encourage that because we know they'll support other arts projects and other arts organizations. It's not just ours, you know. So in your community, that's a really important part of what we do. I think sometimes it's discouraging. It can be very discouraging if you don't feel that you're getting the community support that you need from local businesses or other arts partnerships. And we've gone through that. It's ups and downs, highs and lows, roller coaster ride. But basically, we couldn't do what we do without that support. And that people like you, Deborah, who have participated, take that seriously and say, hey, here's this law firm that has supported this project. I'm going to go and see if I can be one of their, you know, I'll find my lawyer there, you know.
You've done the legwork.
That's a good feeling that we have that we, you know, it's worthwhile. So, now I just went off on a tangent about
your partnerships.
I will bring us back.
Yeah, I know you will. You and me, I'll tangent about partnerships till the cows come home.
But it is important to say, so thank you for saying that. Thank you for saying that, Deborah. But back to my question.
Yeah.
What does it feel like as a contributor to have both the presentation and be able to present your work and just having that group of people there present, but also then to see your work in print?
Well, one word would have to be fulfilling, because when you're an artist, or at least when you are an artist, you seem to do the work solo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you, whether you are a conduit or however it comes to you, it's you and the piece that's being manifested. You have the symbiosis. But in having an opportunity with NICE and with Polk Street Review, I was able to join a community mm-hmm. and to have the feedback and to have the influences, mm-hmm. to have the permission to think outside of where I am and to grow. It's just been very opening,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, like I said, fulfilling, but very opening to me as an artist and just someone who appreciates what other artists do. I mean, it just, I'm sure that there are other adjectives,
yeah.
and I could probably go on forever,
and
but it's
great.
Just, if I could say it in one word, it'd have to be,
great word.
Well, I remember the very first time you participated in one of our projects, and we didn't know you. I didn't know you. Sarah E. knew you mm-hmm. from the Poetry Society of Indiana. I didn't know you. And you got up to read a poem, and I was just struck at how much poise you mm-hmm. had doing that
mm-hmm.
in front of what, to you at the time, was a room full of strangers, because you didn't know anyone but Sarah E. And In our experience with all the presentation events that we've had and everything, not everybody can do that. They don't have the poise to, you know, they're a little nervous. And I thought to myself at the time, I thought, this woman is going to be my friend. And I will tell you that, you know, when we have our presentation events and we're, especially with the Polk Street Review book launch, one of the things that Sarah E. and I have to do is select presenters
mm-hmm.
out of all the amazing, wonderful things that go in the book, to select presenters to in a limited time frame of about 2 hours with an intermission, so less than 2 hours of actual presentation time, that is so challenging for us, because mm-hmm. I've always said I wish we could have an all-day-long festival where everybody could just get up and read and do everything, their whole entire pieces and everything. But one of the things I will say, and I probably shouldn't say this, but I'm saying it, I always want you to present, because I know you'll just bring down the house. I know it'll just be awesome. And so it's important to me to encourage people who don't present very much and they need to get more comfortable doing it, but it's also important to me to have more confident presenters take that stage and give them that platform. So I'm thrilled that you feel that's fulfilling, because I'm fulfilled listening to you when you present.
This has been At the Roundtable with Alice
and Sarah E.
of Community Education Arts.
Our nonprofit organization is based in Noblesville, Indiana. You can find us online at cearts.org.
This activity made possible in part with support from the Indiana Arts Commission and the National Endowment for the Arts, a federal agency.
We'd like to thank James Weston for writing our intro music and for his technical savvy.
Join us next time
at the Roundtable.